Well, hello and good evening and welcome to the Prairie Village Church of Christ. We are so glad you've decided to come and share this moment with us to worship our God who loves us so much and sent His Son for us to die for us. And we're just here to celebrate that life and that death and that resurrection of Jesus. We're glad you're here. More importantly, God's glad you're here. I don't know, but you might have enemies out in the world. I'm not sure about that. But one thing I want you to know, that when you're here, you're among friends. We want you here. You're welcome here anytime. And we're so glad you've made this choice. We're going to encourage you at this time to pick up your Bible and be opening to Daniel chapter 6. It's in your Old Testament, verses 16 through 24. A very familiar story to most people, even in the world. Those of us who don't read the Bible or go to church very often, we're going to recognize this story. Daniel chapter 6, starting in verse 16. Then the king gave orders, and Daniel was brought in and cast into the lion's den. And the king spoke and said to Daniel, "Your God, whom you constantly serve, will himself deliver you." A stone was brought and laid over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring, and with the signet rings of his nobles, so that nothing would be changed in regard to Daniel. Then the king went off to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no entertainment was brought before him, and his sleep fled from him. Then the king rose at dawn at the break of day and went in haste to the lion's den. And when he had come near the den to Daniel, he cried out with a troubled voice. The king spoke and said to Daniel, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you constantly serve, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Then Daniel spoke to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me, inasmuch as I was found innocent before him. And also toward you, O king, I have committed no crime." Then the king was very pleased and gave orders for Daniel to be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. And the king then gave orders, and they brought those men who had maliciously accused Daniel, and they cast them, their children, and their wives into the lion's den. And they had not reached the bottom of the den before the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Now, we talked this morning in the earlier services about the events recorded in Daniel chapter 1 and Daniel chapter 3, how God delivered His chosen people, Israel, over to their enemies because of their repeated sinfulness, their unfaithfulness. And in 605 B.C., King Nebuchadnezzar of the Babylonian Empire, he came and attacked Jerusalem, and he brought back some captives to his capital city. And we talked about four of those captives this morning. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and those last three also known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these guys were just the cream of the crop of young Jewish nobility who were brought back to the land of Babylon. In chapter 1 and verse 4, it talks about these young guys. It said they were good looking. They were full of wisdom. They had a lot of knowledge. They had plenty of understanding. And they were trained for a post in the royal court, in the palace, serving the king. And after 3 years, they were brought before the king, and he saw none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. It says in verse 20, "And in all matters of wisdom and understanding, about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all his realm. He gave them the eye test, he looked them over, he gave them the ear test, he listened to what they had to say. He examined them, and he really liked what he saw, and he really liked what he heard with these guys. Now, we talked about this morning, what was it that made these four young men 10 times better than the rest? And I want to say right up front, it's not that they were young. It's not that they were good looking. It's not that they were just so bright. It was a lot of other things that made them so much better than their peers. And we talked about those things. We talked about when they were trained in the literature of the land, they trusted in God's wisdom instead of all of the popular myths of the day. And the same can be true with us. The same is true with us. We have the wisdom of God available to us this very moment. It's contained in our Bibles. And if you trust in God's wisdom and you just pay attention to it and you follow it, then God is going to be very pleased with you, and your life's just going to be 10 times better than if you would not have done that. And the same is true with the fact that when they changed their diet from the diet of a common POW, prisoner of war, and they tried to give them the best food of the land, they tried to give them the food that the king ate and the wine that the king drank, they refused it. Daniel said in chapter 1 and verse 8, it is said of him that he purposed in his heart he would not defile himself. Either the food was unclean, was offered as a sacrifice to idols or what have you. But what we learn there is that if we live by the Bible, we learn the Bible, if we practice its principles and we don't defile ourselves with the world's pollutions, then we're going to have a 10-time better life than if we would have done those things. He also refused the wine that the king offered him. And we learned there that, you know, it just doesn't matter if things look better, if they taste better, if they make you feel better. They're not necessarily better for you. It's just better to follow God and to deny all of those pollutions that the people in the world want to thrust at you. And we also learned it's much wiser and more effective to defeat Satan and his schemes and his defilements if you do that banded together with brothers and sisters in arms, with people of like precious faith. That's what Daniel and Meshach and Shadrach and Abednego, that's what they did. His three friends stood side by side together, shoulder to shoulder in their determination to do the right thing. And that's what we need to do as well with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we talked this morning about, even though these guys were just so awesome in the sight of God and the sight of the kings, and they were so much better in their wisdom and their knowledge and their understanding, they were such godly men, they still had a lot of problems they had to deal with, didn't they? It wasn't all sunshine and roses and lollipops and rainbows for these guys. In chapter 3, King Nebuchadnezzar made a statue that was 100 feet tall, made of gold. And he made a decree that when certain music played at a certain time of day, everybody had to fall down to the ground and worship this statue. And if they didn't, guess what? They were going to get thrown into a fiery furnace and incinerated alive. And Daniel's friends, they refused to fall down and worship this idol. And what that teaches us, among other things, is that these guys would rather die than disobey God. They would rather be incinerated than do the wrong thing. They would rather pay the ultimate price than to sin against God. They refused even after the king gave them a second chance. He said, look, I'm going to give you one more chance. You bow down to this idol when the music plays. And they said, don't even worry about striking up the band because we're not going to do it. And the king was so hot, he had them crank that furnace up 7 times its normal heat. And that heat was so hot that it actually killed the guards that tried to take those 3 men into that furnace to lead them to their execution. It actually turned out to be the guards' execution instead. But Daniel's 3 friends, it said, they came out and not so much as a hair on their head was singed. And they didn't even have the slightest smell of smoke on their clothing. And look, this is what we can learn if we're following God. If we are living our lives the right way, obeying the Bible, when Satan turns up the heat, we can stand it. We can take it. Because God is going to be there with us. And if we stand together, we're going to have that much more of a chance to overcome whatever it is that the world throws at us. The fire may even kill us. Daniel's friends, they were aware of that. They knew they may have paid the ultimate price, but they were willing to do it anyway. But look, even if the fire should kill us and consume us, God will be with us just the same if we stand firm in His principles and don't give in to the defilements of the flesh. He'll help us beat the heat and He'll save us eternally. Now, we see from tonight's reading that Daniel's life wasn't all rainbows and moonbeams either, was it? How in the world did Daniel find himself in the predicament that he was in when we pick up there in Daniel chapter 6? What in the world could have caused him to be in such a tight spot? Thrown into a den of hungry lions. Why was he treated so maliciously? Well, let's backtrack a little bit again and talk about what led up to this event. See if we can draw some conclusions and make some applications to our lives tonight. First of all, I'll say that Daniel's star rose in Babylon under King Nebuchadnezzar. That is to say, he was promoted to very high heights. He was promoted to a provincial governor. We'll read about that in chapter 2 and verse 48. And now, when we pick up in chapter 6, it's decades later, likely 6 decades later. And guess what? Daniel's an old man now, but he's still on top. He's still the guy to go to when you need something done. He's still a top dog. He was appointed one of only 3 governors, or your version of the Bible may say commissioners. And this time, he's under the kingship of Darius, and he's a ruler of the Persian Empire. Let's read what it said about this Daniel and his situation in Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. We read there, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps, to be over the whole kingdom and over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and the satraps because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. Now, how did Daniel arise the way he did? How did he soar to such great heights and stay there? Because listen, a lot of people's stars, they'll burn brightly for a little while, and others burn out in a blaze of glory, and you'll never hear from them again. How did Daniel climb the mountain and stay up there for as long as he did? Well, verse 3 tells us that very clearly, how he pulled that off. Verse 3 says, Daniel distinguished himself. The King James Version says that he was preferred. And what that's really telling us here is that the cream rose to the top. Daniel climbed the mountain and stayed there because he was just better than all the rest. He did his job better. He received more credit because he was more diligent. He was more thorough in his pursuits. He was more faithful in the execution of his duties. He was more trustworthy. And the king took notice of that. He could see his excellent character. Now, Nebuchadnezzar found him and his friends to be 10 times better than the rest when they were just teenagers. Here we are, 6 decades later, and this old veteran, Daniel, he's still standing on the top. He's still standing out. He's still outshining all of his peers. And he's still godly after all those years. He's still pure in heart. Daniel's godliness distinguished him from the other people. He stood out from the crowd because he was such a godly person. People could just see that. They noticed that. Well, let me ask you, do you stand out from the crowd? We don't always like to do that, do we? That's not always a desirable thing to do. A lot of times it's easier just to stay low, isn't it? Just to lay low, not draw attention to yourself, just to skate by unnoticed. Let me tell you something about Daniel. He wasn't trying to be the life of the party. He wasn't trying to draw attention to himself. He just set such high standards for himself. He was such a man of high character that people couldn't help but take notice of him. And that's not a bad thing. Now, verse 3 goes on to tell us how he distinguished himself. It says this. It puts it this way. It says it was because an excellent spirit was within him. Spiritual excellence can open doors for you that otherwise would not have been open. There's an old saying, you've probably heard it before, and that is that nice guys finish last, or good guys finish last. I know that when I was much younger, any time that I was out with my friends or even by myself, if I met a young lady and I liked her, I thought she was kind of cute, and you know, we talked a little while, and she told me, well, you're such a nice guy, I knew that was the kiss of death. I knew it was over for us. I knew I'd never hear from this person again, because most of the times the girls that I met, they weren't interested in nice guys, which tells me probably I was meeting the wrong kind of girls. But the point is, nice guys, they do finish last sometimes. Nice guys, well, they're a dime a dozen. There are plenty of nice guys in the world and nice girls. What we should try to do is to aspire to higher heights. Don't just settle with being a nice guy or a nice girl. Don't just settle with being average. Seek for spiritual excellence, and things are going to go better for you. Purpose to be the best person that you can possibly be, just like Daniel did. Be trustworthy in your dealings with people. Be a man or a woman of your word. When you say something, you mean it. Work hard in whatever endeavor you undertake. Try to be the best worker that you can be. Go the extra mile with people. Do what you have to do. Go out of the way to do good things for people. And you do that, and I'm going to tell you, your life's going to start looking up. You're going to start seeing a vast improvement in your relationships. You're going to notice that people are going to start taking note of you. Now look, I'm not guaranteeing you that you're going to climb the corporate ladder one day. That's not a promise. But you know what? You're going to climb a much more important ladder than the corporate ladder. You're going to climb the ladder that leads to heaven. I'm telling you, that's the best one. Daniel, he caught the king's eye because of his excellent spirit. But you know whose eye you're going to catch if you have one? You're going to catch the King of Kings' eye. He's really going to take notice of you. That's really going to please him. And he's going to bless you because of that. He is going to just be so very happy with you because you chose to develop an excellent spirit within you just by reading his word and trying to be the best person you can be and that type of thing. Well, like we said, people took notice of Daniel, but that's not always a good thing, is it? Because unfortunately, the wrong people see things just as well as the right people, don't they? And that was the case with Daniel. That's how he found himself in the predicament, in the lion's den. And that's going to be the case for us sometimes if we're trying to do the right things and be just spiritually excellent people. There will be some troublemakers. Some ungodly people won't want to see you prosper in this world. They're not going to be happy if you're happy. You can just count on it. You're going to run into some difficulties. That's just life when it comes to being in planet Earth and serving God. Now, the king planned to make Daniel ruler over the whole realm, it says there. Even over his fellow governors. Even over those who were his peers at one time. Now, the New King James Version says, the king gave thought to doing this. It doesn't really say that he said that. He just gave thought to it. But you know what I think? I think these other rulers, I think these other officials, they could just see the handwriting clearly on the wall. They knew that this guy, Daniel, he was going places because he was of such an excellent constitution. And for whatever reason, they didn't want him to. They did not want his star to rise any higher. Maybe it was because they were jealous of him. Maybe it was because they were ambitious. Maybe they wanted that position for themselves. Maybe they knew his standards of fairness and righteousness were just too strict, and they knew they weren't going to get away with a lot of the stuff they got away with before. Whatever the reason was, they didn't want to have to answer to Daniel. And let me tell you something, spiritual excellence, it comes with a price. It just does sometimes. It can draw the anger of other people. It can draw the jealousy and the envy of people who can't see past this world. And that's okay. Verse 4 tells us, they tried to find something to charge Daniel with. They tried to set him up. They tried to find some crime that he had committed. They tried to see some offense that he might have committed, some amount of corruption that he might have been involved in. But of course, you couldn't pin anything on this guy. This was Teflon Daniel. Nothing stuck to him because he was so right. He was so upstanding. It says he was faithful. There was no error found in him. He had no faults. Now look, that doesn't mean he was perfect. That just means that he was not corrupt. So they made something up against him. Have you ever had somebody do that? Have you ever been through that in your life? Have you ever had somebody just not like you for whatever reason, for no fault of your own, and they could find nothing against you to hold against you, so they just went out and made something up? That doesn't feel very good, does it? Daniel shows us here how to handle ourselves when something like that happens, and we're going to develop that as we go along. Now, the other officials, they invented this law. It was a special law just with Daniel in mind. They just knew he was going to break this law if they enacted it. They went to the king and they said, let's make a firm decree in verse 17. Whoever petitions a god or a man, any other person, any other thing within the next 30 days, except you, O king, let's throw him into a den of lions. And the king, of course, he said, where's the document? Let me sign it. For whatever reason, he signed that very rashly. And now these connivers, they had Daniel. And they knew they had him for sure. They knew his routine. They had seen him for years. They knew what he did day in, day out. He petitioned the God of heaven three times a day, every day, since he was a young person. Like clockwork, they knew they had him. And once that decree was signed by the king, it could not be revoked. So you know what these connivers had to do? All they had to do was just sit back and wait for Daniel to go petition God and pray to him. A couple of things I want us to note here about that. First of all, what's the best way to deal with a situation like being stabbed in the back by one of your peers? How do you handle yourselves when somebody just makes up something against you for no other reason, just to see you fall? That they just go out of their way to set you up for a fall? How do you handle yourself in a situation like that? It's real easy. The answer is very easy. You just keep on doing the right thing. You just keep on being righteous. You just keep on being dependable. Keep on being honorable. And you're going to be okay in the end. That's what Daniel did. And he was blessed for that. Now, we read in chapter 6 and verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Daniel went home. even though he knew what it was going to cost him. He went up to that upper room. He threw the windows open. He faced towards Jerusalem, and he prayed to God, even though he knew he was going to be thrown to the lions for doing that. What do you do when you know that doing the right thing is going to get you in trouble? What do? You do it anyway. You just keep doing the right thing no matter what. You trust in God. You keep serving Him. You keep praying to Him. You keep thanking Him. Even if you know they're going to throw you to the lions for it, because God's going to take care of you if you do that. Don't make excuses. Do the wrong things. Even if you have to face the music for doing the right thing. It's always best to face man's music than God's music. Do what's right, and you let God sort that out in the end, and He will. He will take care of it in the end. You might run into a little difficulty in your life when you're dealing with human beings, but in the end, you're going to be all right with God, and that's all that matters. Now, I said that was easy. I said the answer was easy. What do you do? The theory is easy, but putting it into action is not always easy, is it? It's not always easy to do the right thing. You ever been there? In just a real tight spot, and you really know that doing the wrong thing is going to benefit you if you choose that path. If I don't speed, if I don't go very fast in my vehicle, I'm going to be late. You ever been there? I have. I've done that. I remember going 90 miles an hour down I-65, and guess where I was trying to get to? To church, to preach. And I justified that. But you know what I was? I was breaking the law, and I was being dangerous to other people 90 miles an hour. Don't do that. We can justify doing the wrong things, and we think we're doing that for the right reasons. We can think, look, if I don't peek at little Bobby's test paper, I'm going to fail. So I better do that. I got to cheat, or I'm going to fail. I don't want to fail and be held back. We'll justify that. We'll justify lying. Look, if I don't lie, I'm not going to get my discount on that thing I want to buy. If I don't lie to these people, I'm not going to get the medications I need at the price I need them. If I don't lie when I fill out that application, my son won't get to go to the best school. He's going to get bussed somewhere I don't want him to be. Anybody remember Forrest Gump, that movie? I know a lot of people just really like Forrest Gump. It's one of the favorite movies of all time. But you know the scene that gets stuck in my mind? It's that one near the beginning when the mom, played by Sally Fields, knew she wouldn't get little Forrest into the school she wanted to get him into unless she prostituted herself. I know a lot of people who think that's one of the funniest scenes in the whole movie. Or I even know some people who think, well, that's really just an extreme act of love for a child that you care so much about. Oh, until you've had a child, you just won't know what that's about. You know what? I just find that scene terribly disturbing. It's not funny. It's not loving, it's not justifiable, it's disgusting, it's deceptive, it's sinful. One wrong does not make a right, no matter how much we benefit from it. I don't care what school you get your son into, it's not worth prostituting yourself for. It's not worth lying on an application, because you're going to have to answer to God for that. No matter how much you benefit on this earth, don't do wrong that good may come. And the Apostle Paul says that very thing in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And he said, God forbid. Heaven forbid that. No way, you don't do that. You please God. Don't you worry about pleasing yourself or anyone else on this earth, even if harm's going to come your way. And let's not miss the obvious lesson from this scripture that we read tonight. What gave Daniel the strength to do the right thing, even when it hurt? Even when he knew he was going to get thrown into a den of hungry lions. I think more than anything else, it was because he was a man of prayer. Please notice this once again. This was his custom, to go into his upper room and open those windows and pray to God three times a day. He had been doing that long days, three times a day, every day. So let me ask you, are you having a hard time doing the right things as you're walking around here on the surface of planet Earth? You know, it could be because you're just not falling down on your knees enough. It could be because you're just not a person of prayer that you need to be. We noted this morning how much easier it is to take a stand for doing what's right if you have your friends with you, if you have a tight band of fellow soldiers with you, if you're walking side by side and serving arm in arm with your brothers and sisters in Christ. But you know what Daniel shows us here? He shows us we can even pull that off if we go it all on our own. Even if we're forced to do that by ourselves. Even if you can't find one other single person in this whole wide world to stand beside you, if you kneel before the King, if you're a man of prayer, if you're a woman of prayer, you will never be alone. Now, it doesn't matter what may come. It doesn't matter what the world may throw at you. It doesn't matter what dangers may be before you. If you are a person of prayer, then God is going to take care of you just like he did Daniel. Now, I want you to notice the substance of his prayers. Daniel prayed and made those petitions. It says there, he knelt down on his knees three times and he prayed. And he gave thanks before the Lord. He made those petitions. He asked God for things, for help, for strength, and he thanked God. One part petition and one part appreciation. A true man of prayer, a true woman of prayer, doesn't just go to God, doesn't just visit him on occasion with a wish list. Did you know that? And Daniel teaches us that here. Before you even dump all of those wishes on him, all those wants, all those needs that you have in your life, the first thing that you should do when you go to God in prayer is you should be thanking him for the things that he's already done for you, for the things that he's already given to you, for how good he's already been to you. And people who really understand prayer, they know how important that is. Now look, those other things are important too. Your wants, your needs, your wishes. He wants everything you've got. He wants you to take everything to him in prayer. But listen to me now. Just remember, he doesn't need anything you've got. When you do that, that's not for him. When you show that appreciation to him, that's for you. Because ingrates, ungrateful people, very seldom make for happy, satisfied, excellent people. So when you go to God, and listen, I want you to do that. Tonight, before you go to bed, if you're not accustomed to doing that, you go before God. You don't have to get down on your knees. You just need to pray to him. You can do that standing, sitting, kneeling, however you want to do it. But you tell him how much you love him and how much you appreciate him. And you thank him for every good thing he's given you. You look at the people beside you. You have people, you have friends, you have family who love you. I know a lot of people in this world who don't have that. And they're still thankful to God. You thank him for the clothes on your back, for the food in your belly, because you know what? He gave it to you. You do that, I promise things are going to start looking better for you in your life. It's going to change your perspective. You become a man of prayer, a woman of prayer. You're going to start instilling that excellent spirit within yourself. You can go ahead and pick up your songbooks. We're going to sing number 601 to give you an opportunity to obey the gospel this very evening, to put on Christ in baptism. If you haven't done that, to make your life right with him, to have your sins washed clean so you can have a new start, a fresh slate, and so God can start forming that excellent spirit within you. Let me ask you, last question for tonight. Have you ever felt like you were the only person in the world, or at least in your world, willing to take a stand for God? Have you ever felt like you're the only one in your family trying to do the right things? Maybe the only person at school, the only person at work, or in your neighborhood who is just really trying to do those things which are good and right and just. If you feel that way, let me suggest to you, you keep doing them anyway. You just keep standing firm, even if you have to do it all alone, like Daniel did. Because listen, we're all going to stand before God on the day of judgment very soon, all alone, without our brothers and sisters and family and friends. It's just going to be us and him. So we need to learn to stand in a solitary fashion if we have to here on earth, because one day that's the way we're going to be standing in eternity before him when he judges us. Are you ready for that day? Are you ready for the judgment day? Listen, man, don't miss that. That is a reality that you must face up to. If not now, later. Later may not come for you. Are you ready to stand before God on judgment day and give an account for the life that you've lived? You can make it right tonight if you're not. There's no reason not to leave this building tonight ready to stand before him. God will make it right for you, no matter what you go through in this world. Even if you're faced with a pack of hungry lions. Listen, devil is referred to as a roaring lion, one who prowls around seeking for someone to devour. God will help you stand up to that scoundrel, that dirty rat, that lion, and he'll never be able to overcome you and wear you down if you're with him. But you got to be with him. You ready to take that stand? We're ready to help you tonight. We'll baptize you into Christ if you're ready to do that. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. We'll study with you. We'll do anything we can do for you to help you be a more excellently minded person with just that excellent, extraordinary spirit like Daniel. It all starts here. It all starts with that first step, with that commitment. You ready to commit? We stand ready to help you. You come up while we're standing and singing to your encouragement.